Crank them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
It was a Memorial Day paint scheme, and it was Indy. But it wasn't the 500. For now, though, Kyle Larson will be more than happy to be kissing the bricks. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service, and Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. Presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Reed and Lee here. And before we talk about Kyle Larson, let's talk about Indy being back on the oval, Lee. I thought it was a success. I was glad to see it back on the oval, first of all, for the 30th anniversary. But I don't know if it's this car, as we expected, would be better suited for Indianapolis. But I loved it.
Ever since we saw what the next-gen car could do, I have been in favor of going back to the oval. I just wanted to see, with the kind of downforce, with the horsepower, how this car would look. Would it react better than the old car? And I thought it was a win. I think overall, I know they said it would be tricky trying to pass other cars, but you just felt that buzz. There hadn't been that buzz for the last 3 years, but coming into Indy, it just felt right again. And I was so happy to see the race, to see people coming back to the racetrack and just getting all the feels that we had missed.
Well, and there were comers and goers during the race. I mean, you know, yeah, there was strategy involved and there were people having to pit for fuel and so on and so forth, but still, people were passing. There was a lot of passing throughout the race, throughout the field, Reed.
Well, I tell you what, there was a lot more passing going on in that race than in the previous race on the road course last year, where it was pretty much a train because they took out the stage brakes, didn't have the restarts, and Michael McDowell dominated that race. Chase Elliott was up front the whole race. Daniel Suarez was up front the whole race. So basically, I saw a lot more passing on the oval than I did on the road course. And I think that Kyle Larson will tell you that he learned some techniques from running the Indy car that helped him pass and move through the field with the next gen car, or the Gen 7 car, as we're calling it now. So, you know, I thought it was very, very entertaining. And the appetizer that was the Xfinity race the day before was extremely entertaining.
Yeah, it really was. Go ahead, Lee.
Some of the passing occurred simply because of the fuel strategies, right? I mean, there were so many different strategies going there at the end, and some guys were in fuel conservation mode, and that opened the door for Reddick and Larson to be able to just kind of call their race and do what they wanted to do and make the kind of passes that they wanted to make. And I thought that even added more interest, because you knew it was just a matter of time before Brad was going to go out. It was just how he made his exit.
That's something that I find interesting, because we always talk about, you know, so often strategic races, and we hear a lot of times, especially Richmond has become a strategy track. And I find the Richmond races still are hard to watch. And even though they're a strategy track, but at Sonoma this year, it was a strategy race. And I found it to be intriguing. And really, you know, that was the drama, was because of strategy. And I thought Indianapolis was great because there was so much strategy involved. And I think it was because in both cases, the strategy was easy to follow. And it was easy to tell who was on what strategy. And in those both cases, I don't want to do that every week, but I think in both those cases at Sonoma and this week in Indianapolis, because of that, that helped build the drama.
Oh, I totally agree, because in the first stage, for instance, Denny Hamlin was among those who pitted about halfway. That was early. Others have, you know, kept on the track until about lap 37 or 38 of 50, even close to lap 40. But as it turned out, well, the strategy of pitting early in stage one was the one that worked, got those guys to the front of the field. But at one point in the race, I counted four different pit cycles going on at the same time. And each one of them, as you say, you could follow pretty well. And it was still way up in the air as to which one ultimately would prove decisive. And as it turned out, because the race went to overtime, Keselowski didn't have a chance to win the race, and Larson did.
Well, and, you know, Reddick, for instance, went really deep into stage one and then pitted and made it, to me, that made it very clear that they weren't going to come at the end of the first stage, and possibly were working on a, you know, a strategy which they were going to pit maybe late in stage two, or, you know, and make that a three-stop race, Lee.
And how did his track position, having to pit a second time when they didn't get the lug tight the first time after the end of stage two, affect their strategy and ultimately his ability to win that race? And, you know, kind of going back to what Reed was saying with all the different strategies and what you mentioned, how interesting that is. Why would people watch Formula One racing if it wasn't for the strategy? Because, you know, we had a new winner this past weekend in Formula One, but...
Oh, you mean the strategy where the guy's supposed to pull over and let his teammate win?
Well, that's...
that would happen.
That's strategy too, but, you know, you're not watching to see who has the fastest car or this, that. I mean, it's like, it comes down to strategy. And you mentioned Richmond and what a snoozer it's going to be. We're going to have strategy with two tire compounds coming up when we do return from the break. So that will be interesting and something to look forward to as well.
Yep.
Although the option tire, I must say, which NASCAR has confirmed, it could make it interesting, but maybe not. I talked to Martin Truex about whether he, who made his short track breakthrough at Richmond, what he thought about the option tire. And he thinks that all the crew chiefs are smart enough that they'll all do the same thing if it comes down to it. So we'll see. We'll see how that works.
It is going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Well, let's talk about Kyle Larson. Wins the race at Indianapolis, you know, made some great moves at the end of the race. It would have been fun to see if he'd been able to get to Brad Keselowski, if we hadn't had that late caution that sent the race into overtime. But Kyle Larson was as excited as I've seen him. It still means this race, back on the oval, it is back to being one of the crown jewels of this sport, Lee.
It was really cool to spend time with them in Victory Lane, kissing the bricks. I can tell you, I can't think of the last time, probably when Richard Petty won one of his RPM races and they were cheering for the king. But the fans, the response that Rick Hendrick got, that kind of blew me away. And the only thing I can think of was the fans showing their appreciation for putting Kyle Larson in a car. Because the one thing you have to grasp, and you were there, so you get this, the two biggest rounds of, you know, ovation for driver introductions was Larson and Connor Daly. Why? They've run the Indy 500. It's like the magic elixir to popularity in the Hoosier State.
Yep.
Once you've run the Indy 500, you're vetted for life. And the response, though, to Rick Hendrick down there kissing the bricks was just absolutely amazing. And he sat there and he handed out one hat after another. You know, they do the hat dance. They were doing the hat dance at the bricks. I mean, so now there's two hat dances when you go to Indy. And that was something that I found out. But he's handing out hats to the fans. Kyle Larson went down the line of every fan who stayed after that race, signed autographs, took selfies. I mean, this was probably 15, 20 minutes. But, you know, you talk about just the thrill, the excitement. It didn't wane from the time that he took the checkered flag and just kind of went berserk to when he came into the media center. It was just way cool.
Well, and it was a clear case of extremes, because I think you're absolutely right. I've never seen Larson as excited as he was to win that race. On the other hand, I've never seen him as distraught as he was to throw away a chance to win the Indy 500, with perhaps the exception being as distraught as he was when he lost the Chili Bowl to Christopher Bell after leading until the last two laps. He was pretty bummed that on that occasion too, but I think it was worse when he sped on pit road in the Indy 500 and then couldn't make it to Charlotte in time even to get in the car and run that race. Contrast that with the emotion that he had on Sunday winning the Brickyard 400. And I mean, that was just clearly night and day.
Yeah. And he said he'd like to come back next May, and the crowd loved that too.
And he will. I believe he will.
Yep. So we'll see if he can go up there and then make it an Indy sweep between the two series. And nobody's ever done. Well, I guess No, nobody's ever done that.
No.
I was thinking Mario Andretti has won, AJ Foyt's won in NASCAR, but not at Indianapolis, because that was way before their time. Yeah, it was 30 years, and seeing all those guys from 30 years ago, it was kind of cool, but that was, yeah, when those guys won in NASCAR, it was even way before that.
Yes, it was.
I'd say before my time, but I was around, but not covering the sport then. All right, when we come back, there were some controversies at Indy. We'll address those when the O'Reilly Pit Reporters goes back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Save money today on your next full synthetic oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $10 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Our professional parts people can recommend the oil change supplies you need at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up on your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmie Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmie Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win 7, no matter how you win 7, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmie Johnson's 5 in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention, very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. 5 in a row? Nobody's done 5 in a row.
Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At the Track. Visit GoPRN.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service, Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, we did have a few controversies late in the race at Indianapolis, and we'll kind of take them one by one, Reed. The first one was Ryan Blaney got very upset on the late restart when he was in second. Brad Keselowski was in first. They were coming to the green flag. They had already chosen the lap on the lap they were completing, and the pace car had left. And then right as they're coming past the entrance to pit road, Keselowski peels off because he has now run out of gas. So Larson, who was in third, moves up into Keselowski's spot, as he would do. And Blaney was furious because he felt like he should get to be the control car because he was the guy in second. To me, Reed, the only option NASCAR would have had at that point was to wave off the restart, which probably wouldn't have set well with Blaney because he was already on fuel mileage save.
That's absolutely right. And here's the deal. Neither Larson nor Blaney knew the rule because Blaney is the control car coming to that. Coming to that restart, just because Larson moves up to the front row, he does not take Keselowski's place as the control car. Blaney, as the second place car, becomes the control car. NASCAR made that clear. And Blaney's pit crew, even after the fact, told him you were the control car. But what really upset Blaney was being on the outside. And you could tell that afterwards, because after the wreck down in turn one that caused the second overtime, his team told him, "You got another chance." He said, "I'm on the top. Nobody wins from the top." And, you know, it was self-fulfilling prophecy, because Larson had no trouble getting past him at that point, because I think Blaney was so spun out himself that he couldn't really concentrate and give it his best effort to try to stay next to Larson, even though it's a very difficult thing to do at Indy from the outside, where it's one of the toughest places to do that from.
And Cliff Daniels had told Larson before that Blaney prefers the bottom. Make sure you take the bottom, because he was going to, you know, block him out there. My question is, as much, and we have seen this throughout the years, I mean, in earnest, the Blue Oval camp has just been adamant about playing as one Ford when you go to Daytona. If you know Brad's going to run out, why weren't they conferring with Penske to let them know this was happening, so at least you had a Ford win?
Well, everybody knew that Brad was going to run out.
It was just a matter of when.
It was just a matter of when. Larson played it perfectly. He was gambling that Brad would run out either on the restart or shortly thereafter, and he would be able to swoop by him and on the bottom lane. And that's why he picked the bottom behind Brad. He was not going to get stacked up behind Brad when he ran out of gas, because he was anticipating it. The only question that I had in the entire process of that restart is whether Larson went first or not.
Jump the restart.
Because they, you know, they weren't sure. Neither Larson nor Blaney was sure who the control car was coming to that green. When they hit the restart zone, it sounded to me like they both went at pretty much exactly the same time. But if they did, then technically Larson jumped the restart. So, I mean, that to me is the question, who went first. But if you'll recall, they had a restart with Denny in an earlier race where it was, I thought, much more obvious who went first, and they didn't call that one. So I don't think they could have called something as close as what we saw on Sunday.
I'll go back just a few years, and you know the difference at Indy between starting on the inside versus the outside. And I'll tell you, this is back, gosh, probably been 15 years ago now, back when Jimmy Johnson was winning a lot of these things at Indianapolis. And it's when they went to the double file restart. And I was asking him, I said, where do you pick, the inside or the outside? He goes, I definitely pick the inside if I have the choice. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, because if you pick the outside, you darn better clear the guy on the inside before you get to turn two. Because if you don't, the guy on the inside is going to drift out and you have no choice. He goes, because if you pick the outside, the guy from the inside is going to get by you and get otherwise. Because the guy on the outside, if he can stay out there and clear him, he can pinch the guy on the inside down and get by him. He said, but the inside's always a huge advantage as long as you can clear the guy on the outside.
And that's really interesting, because, I mean, it's absolutely true, and everybody will tell you that, but you go back a week earlier to Pocono, where do they pick? The outside. And you've got a long straightaway into a tight turn. So,
yeah,
you know, how does it work?
But, yeah. Yeah, don't you have a little more banking, though, in turn one at Pocono?
You do. You have quite a bit more banking at Pocono, only 9.2 degrees at Indianapolis.
All right, let's talk about the last lap. Coming off the restart, Priest spins on the backstretch. Field has already gone by him when he spins Lee. And you could see him trying to get going again. And NASCAR gave him a lot of opportunity, and he could still see his wheel spinning until after they had taken the white flag. Now, a lot of fans feel like they should have thrown the caution before the white flag came out. NASCAR said he was still trying to get going. The wheels were spinning until after, you know, our guys are headed into turn one. And at that point, we had to throw the caution because we didn't want the leaders running up on him, sitting dead on the track. To me, it was almost a rather, if he gets going again and they've thrown the caution before the white flag and there's nobody there when they come around there, then fans are going to go, what are you doing? It was almost a no-win situation.
It was, and Elton Sawyer, when he was on Sirius XM Radio earlier this week, called it a bang bang call, and you know, it really could have gone either way. And you kind of hate it for Preece, you hate it for NASCAR, you hate it for Blaney and Reddick. I mean, I think you go into overtime, and I think Reddick, another overtime, and I think Reddick has a really good shot at Larson. Blaney eventually was going to run out of gas, so if they delay it again, I mean, it just...
Okay, here's the deal. As long as I've been covering NASCAR, they've officiated those sorts of situations the same way. They want the race to finish under green. Because Preece did not hit the wall, there was no, you know, there was no issue of that driver, you know, being hurt or, you know, having a safety issue. So they want the race to play out. They give him a chance to get going. It's a huge track, 2.5 miles, and, you know, he doesn't get going, but, you know, they call the caution when they have to call the caution. And that's when the cars are coming back down toward turn one, turn two, and where he would be in harm's way. That's, to me, is the way they've called races for as long as I can remember. And I've got no issue with it.
It was one of those things. And it's, if you look at the, I'm going back and looked at the replay, you're watching and he's moving, and then you can look and his tires are spinning, and then they stop spinning. And that's, you know, you're talking about maybe 3 seconds, 4 seconds tops. And in that period of time, the leaders have gone from entering the front stretch to past the start finish line. It doesn't take that long. And now you've already thrown the white flag.
Well, I can tell you how goofy it was. It affected a lot of people. They went back to the last scoring loop, or I guess the last scoring lap.
No, what they did was on that last lap, which was run under caution, people started running out of gas and did not maintain cautious pace. So they clocked them at the finish line. If you maintain cautious pace to the finish, some people did, some people didn't. And they revised the finishing order considerably after the fact.
All I know is the top five I went to interview was not the top five.
It wasn't the top five.
No, and it was like, man.
Top three were intact, but...
That was about it. And yeah. And there were some heated people. It's like Christopher Bell's fourth. He was nowhere to be found to be interviewed. Chase Elliott, I'm running after him, and I'm getting two-word answers, and I'm like... Well, somebody's ready for vacation.
Yeah. You know, he was still upset about the whole blend thing.
Absolutely.
And he was, you know, he was originally fifth and then 10th. I mean,
it was. They all had planes to catch. They got a 2-week break coming up. All right. When we come back, Stuart Haas, or we know that's going away, but the Haas factory team has locked down their driver for the one charter they're hanging on to. We'll talk about that when we come back.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. That's 800-748-0593.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit goprn.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do, because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given. At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future
is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at SpeedwayCharities.org.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Well, you can save summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get the tools and parts you need for your next brake job with Brake Best Select, Select Pro, and Import Direct brake pads and rotors now at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. And we appreciate O'Reilly Parts being with us for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters, along with Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, and Reed Spencer for the NASCAR Wire Service. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Cole Custer's going to get a shot back in the Cup Series. Lee is going to be in the factory car, or whatever they call it, the Haas factory car. And I thought it was interesting, and I'm glad to hear from his standpoint, from their standpoint, they have formed an alliance with RFK for next year, because otherwise they would have been a single car operation, and that's hard to make go with that these days.
I need to dig a little more into this. I talked to Joe Custer extensively afterwards and then went back and talked to him again, but I want to see if this is going to be kind of like a Wood Brothers Penske deal, or is this, they're going to be more autonomy on their part. This is part of a bigger plan, and that involves the development of drivers through the Xfinity programs. There could be as many as 10, 11 Ford Xfinity teams next year, and they've really been lacking in numbers. You've got the Siegs, you've got Stuart Haas right now, and you know they won the championship last year, so they're doing something right. To have the kind of weekend that they had this past weekend, to sweep the front row, to sweep first and second, and that was the first time Stuart Haas Racing had ever finished 1-2 in the Xfinity Series since the beginning of the organization. So that's huge, huge accomplishment for that group. But in addition to what they're doing next year with Cole, who absolutely deserves to have an opportunity to come back to the Cup Series, especially after the growth he's made in Xfinity, they will have an extensive Xfinity program with Ford and be a, you know, the key factory team for Ford under the Xfinity Series banner.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Just a matter of who drives for them. As they said, they have offered Riley Herbst the contract, and he certainly did himself a favor on Saturday when he came back to win that race on the last lap. But Riley is, of course, is rumored to be headed elsewhere, perhaps to 23XI, which has been bandied about quite a bit in the press. So we'll see. He says he's got opportunities in all three series, and I believe that's the case. I think the relationship between the Haas factory team and RFK, you know, I'm not sure it'll be as close as it is between Penske and the Wood Brothers. I think it might be more like Penske and Front Row Motorsports, because the Haas factory team said they're still going to build their own cars and, of course, use the Roush Yates engines that all the Ford drivers do.
You talked about the finish of the Xfinity race and Riley Herbst getting his second career win. His first was at his hometown of Las Vegas. And I tell you, the finish of the Xfinity race was as good as you can come. I mean, you had the lead changed hands basically three times over the last
two laps.
I mean, yeah, because you had Custer and then coming to the white flag, you had, you know, basically Herbst and Custer, teammates kind of banging each other a little
right.
bit. And then all of a sudden from nowhere, here comes Eric Almirola, takes the lead, and then Herbst chases him down, takes the lead, and wins it in turn four. I mean, it was as riveting, as exciting to finish as you can have, Lee.
It was really amazing. And shout out to Shane Van Gisbergen, who had his best finish on an oval since Atlanta. And, you know, Atlanta's kind of a funky hybrid now, the way that the banking is and such. But, You know, for him to get a top five at a track like Indy, he was beaming when he got out of the car, which was really cool to see. But, you know, walking with Riley after the winner's circle and then going out to kiss the bricks, he was over the moon. And he said, they can't call me a one-win wonder anymore. And he was just so excited. And he's off to Monte Carlo for the break. So, you know, rough life there. But it was funny. Somebody sent me a picture of me interviewing him on TV, and he had that big clunky ring, and he was like, you know, showing the TV screen. The TV camera. He was just so excited and relieved because, you know, they can't call him a one-win wonder. And to win at Las Vegas and then win at an iconic track, it doesn't get any more iconic than the Brickyard.
So we're not going to see him pumping gas at Terrible's during the break?
For those that don't know, yeah, Terrible's is his family owns a convenience store chain called Terrible's out west. I don't know how far out west they go, but they're
all over Vegas.
All over Vegas, but they're called Terrible's, and it's a convenience store, and they're very nice.
And they at one point they had a casino down in Prim too. So
I don't think we'll be.
And he went to high school with Noah.
Yeah,
I mean there are these little factoid Las Vegas factoids that
and Noah's great granddad was mayor of Las Vegas, so
there we go. No wonder he went to Monte Carlo. All right, when we come back, 4 to go in the regular season. When we get back, will we see much movement in the 16 that we currently have? Stay with us.
O'Reilly. Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For NASCAR fans just tuning in, I'm Kyle Petty, here with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. This season will be the most exciting one yet with the introduction of Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series, a pre-race event where race fans can grab coffee, ask me questions, and check out the great cars of Echo Park. And this just in, fans will be entered for the chance to win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, this is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to Country Radio Hall of Famers Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
It's Kathy and Tim McGraw.
I can see you getting more into the technical. I can see you producing.
It's a fun thing to learn. I enjoy doing it. When I get the opportunities to do it, I try to learn as much as I can.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
Racing Country Classics.
Each year, vehicle trespasser and pedestrian accidents along railroads change the course of innocent lives, from train operators and passengers to families and first responders. Interacting safely with tracks and trains is the goal. It's important to be alert when approaching crossings. Never drive or walk around lowered gates. Do not walk on or beside the tracks. Trespassing is dangerous and illegal. Don't risk your life. Keep clear and stay safe. For more information, visit metrolinktrains.com/stay safe.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back. Along with Reed Spencer for the NASCAR Wire Service, Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, 4 races to go in the regular season when we get back from the break. Currently, we have, 4 drivers without wins that would get in on points, Reed. Martin Truex Jr. is +108 from the cut line. Ty Gibbs +42. Chris Buescher +17. And Ross Chastain +7. Bubba is -7. Chase Briscoe is -83. But you could still have, you know, when somebody could pop up and win a race here out of these last four. And especially, you know, and, you know, then knock one of those guys down. So what do you think the chances are we have some movement in there?
I think we will have some movement in there, because if you look at what's happened in the last 2-3 weeks, Bubba Wallace on the upswing, getting closer every week. Ross Chastain and Chris Buescher on the downswing. And, you know, they've moved perilously close to the cut line. So I think it's certainly possible that Bubba could overtake one of those two drivers and get inside the top 16 on the playoff grid. As you say, four spots being available on points at this point. Now, it can be completely changed by a driver below the cut line winning a race, as we all know. And so far, we've only had 12 drivers winning races this year. You know, we're probably not going to have 16, but we certainly could have one or two more unique drivers winning before the end of the regular season. You know, you've got four drivers at this point having won 13 of the 22 races. So there's been a bit of a monopoly at the top end, but I think there certainly could be movement either by someone below the cut line winning or Bubba Wallace working his way into the top 16 on the playoff grid simply by continuing to do what he's doing and taking advantage of some of the failures of Chastain and perhaps Ty Gibbs, who has had engine issues the last two races. So, you know, I think there are vulnerabilities there. Chastain, Buescher, Ty Gibbs, any of those guys.
You know, you look at it, Lee, and we have Daytona still to go in the regular season, you know, but you don't have Watkins Glen until the playoffs. So that takes one of the quote unquote wild cards out of it. You've got Richmond, which you could arguably say could be a wild card because of the second tire compound, not counting the wet weather tires, then Michigan, then Daytona, then Darlington. So there really is Daytona the only real wild card in there.
Daytona is the only real wild card in there, possibly Darlington, only because Darlington can get really tricky and it can get slick and hot and crazy things happen there for some reason. Chris Buescher, you've got an open opportunity here, buddy. The next two races, you're the defending winner. Go out and get you some. Richmond, Michigan, you won those last year. He's got a shot. And Brad Keselowski, when we talked to him, he said they're putting all their effort behind Buescher to get it done, because that organization will be stronger as a whole in the playoffs with two drivers in. That organization will attract better employees going forward in 2025 if they have two drivers in the playoffs, and that company as a whole will attract more sponsorship if both drivers are in the playoffs.
And if Tyler Reddick doesn't dive bomb Chris Buescher at Darlington the first time, he wins the race and he's in the playoffs.
Yeah. That's true.
Kansas. I mean, how close was he at Kansas?
Yeah.
And then think about this, though. Throw this one out there. Eric Jones is very good at Darlington.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
And he hasn't had great finishes, but he's had some decent runs. The finishes don't show it, but he's a guy that could, you know, is he, you talk about guys deep in the pack that could all of a sudden pop up and win a race, Reed.
I mean, he certainly could, but, you know, I just haven't been enamored of the performance of those cars this year.
But think about how good Nemechek was
Although
last week.
John Hunter, I was about to say, came from nowhere to qualify well and run well at Indy until he backed up the field and wrecked in the last big one. But I mean, that, you know, that was unexpected. So I don't think you can write off Jones, who's won twice at Darlington.
I would like to see him in better equipment moving forward, though. If Legacy can't get together, I think that he is somebody that if I'm a, you know, mid-level or better organization, you have to take a hard look at.
What about Kyle Busch? Huh. I mean, this, he can't.
Sorry.
I don't know if he's got to put his shoes on in a different order or, you know, I mean, Mother Nature has not been kind to Kyle Busch lately.
He has used up all of his luck. They have got to make wholesale changes at RCR at the end of the season, and whether that's starting with the position that was vacated by Andy, or whether it means getting a new crew chief, and I've got a lot of faith in his crew chief. Something is amiss there. You cannot have a driver like Kyle Busch not, you know, feel like he has to overdrive the car. And that's what he said on Sunday. You know, I was trying to put the car someplace where it couldn't go, and boom. It's heartbreaking. I mean, I don't think anybody would have ever used heartbreaking and Kyle Busch in the same sentence, because, you know, he's played the villain for so long. But I mean, the fans are starting to cheer for him because he's starting to feel like that old guy that just can't get the job done, but has such a great resume and I don't think it's the driver. I repeat, I do not think it's the driver. Something has to be done with the equipment, with the team, to make Kyle Busch great again.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, he stayed out and led the race for a few laps. He also had a decent car at Indy.
And he had tested there, so he knew the track. And
he knew the track. That's absolutely right. He did the Goodyear tire test. And, you know, I think that when he tried to make the move on Denny for fifth place, he was yearning for a top five. And he put the car in a position where the Joe Gibbs racing car probably would have stuck, but the Richard Childress racing car did not. And I think there's probably a little bit of difference between the quality of the equipment. And I think, you know, as you say, that's an area that's got to improve. What I feel sorry for Kyle about is that the most important thing to him right now is keeping that streak of years of winning going, which I think reached 19, would be 20 this year. If he wins a race. So, I mean, that's a very important stat to him, and he's just getting frustrated. And as you say, driving over his head, trying to get something done.
Not the way he wanted to celebrate his 700th career start.
No. The thing is, he's had some races with speed. The thing about Gateway, he was running well at Gateway up front, and then Kyle Larson gets loose and takes them both out. At Dover, he had a very good car at Dover, but then a bad pit stop cost him position. You know, I think it left a loose tire and had to come back in again, and that cost him positions there. So it's the times he's had good cars, something else has conspired to take him out.
That you still have to have the execution, and it just seems, even if the cars, like you said, are good, you still have to have the execution. Execution is going to be the difference between first and 15th, and he is not a 15th place driver. And it's just, it's hard to watch.
But now, you know, as we were talking about the playoffs, he is a driver who conceivably could win one of the next four races and knock somebody else out of the playoffs.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, and RCR cars are usually pretty good at Daytona.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Daytona is a good shot.
Who knows? That's why they play the games, right?
Absolutely right.
When we come back, is there a championship favorite right now? You got Kyle Larson with four wins, but some of the guys we thought early on might be shoo-ins for the title haven't done much lately. Stay with us.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. That's 800-397-6805.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN. the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Lee Spencer from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com and Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, let's take a look at where we are right now. Four races to go in the regular season, 14 races to go in the season, period, Lee. And we got Kyle Larson's got four wins now. He's got 28 playoff points. He is leading the standings by 10 over Chase Elliott. Reddick is 15 back. I mean, we realistically right now have a three-man race for the championship. It's 43 to Hamlin, so he's got an outside shot maybe at winning the regular season championship. And keeping in mind, 15 points comes with that, 10 points for second. But I'm having a hard time putting my finger on one guy and saying right now, he's the guy that's got the best shot at winning the championship right now. We were talking during the break, and the first name that comes to mind early in the season, it looked like William Byron was on a rocket ship to the championship, and they've had a horrible summer.
They've had a brutal summer, and you know, we were talking about that earlier, and since Charlotte, he was 15th at Gateway, 30th at Sonoma, 2nd in Iowa, 26th at Loudoun, 19th at Nashville, an 8th at Chicago, 4th at Pocono, and 38th last week at Indy. And of course, Indy was not his fault. He was just completely wiped out there. But if you have a weekend like that, you have to go back to the previous few races and hope there's some sort of buffer built up to help carry you through. I would have thought he maybe not been a lock to win the regular season championship, but certainly been in the hunt. And right now I am looking at Larson, even though he's given the field an extra race to get points on. He maybe Blaney is right. Maybe he is the golden boy. He certainly found the golden horseshoe.
The golden? Right? exactly what I was going to say.
So, I mean, he's really... Could that team be any better now, the way he and Cliff just seem to be hitting on all eight cylinders? And the chemistry there is just amazing.
But their finishes have been kind of up and down too, though, Larson's.
But when he wins big.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's Larson. And I'll tell you why. The old saying is that when you've got a poker hand, who has the best hand going in? Usually probably going to win. In this case, he's first in the standings right now. He's first in line to get those 15 playoff points.
With four wins.
With four wins, which are going to add to his total and make, probably give him a good leg up on getting through the first two rounds.
And how many stage wins?
Yeah, I mean.
Eight.
Eight stage wins. I think that he's probably got the edge. They've had speed almost all the time. They've had some questionable finishes. They've messed around with Denny Hamlin a little bit here and there and not gotten as good of finishes as they could have in certain races. But I think they've got the speed, and that's number one. And I think they're going to have a buffer in terms of playoff points, and I think that's number two. We all remember back to 2017 when Martin Truex Jr. had the huge amount of playoff points going into the playoffs and ended up winning the championship. I think Larson is in that position now. Although, you know, the sleeper that I don't think you can ignore if they find a way to be consistent is Christopher Bell, because he's been in the championship for the last 2 years. Didn't have a chance to show what he had last year with the brake failure, but you know, he's a guy that could come from nowhere to win it, I think.
What about Tyler Reddick? I mean, I think it's 8 of the last 9 races. He's been in the top 8. They're doing everything but winning, but he's only got 8 playoff points right now.
See, that was my, you know, you call Bell the baby-faced assassin, but Reddick is somebody that can really slip up and surprise some people. And that's what Larson thought that's who would be attacking him in the closing laps.
Well, that's what Reddick did in the two Xfinity championships.
It's absolutely what he did. I mean, can you imagine if our championship was back at Homestead and you had Reddick and Larson going? I mean, it was like, and Bell, throw Bell in there, right? Because those three loving that high line.
Well, Bell doesn't like to run the wall.
Well, we'll see. you know, if you're forced to do it, you do it, right? But Reddick is somebody that's sneaky. And yes, all these, you know, he tweeted about being the bridesmaid. Do we remember who finished second last year at Phoenix? The champion, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So he is somebody that will sneak up and attack. And mentally, he just has to get himself over the bad days and say, hey, we're consistent. Because for him, second is a bad day, right? You have to just kind of put that in the arsenal and just keep going and fuel yourself on consistency. He's got the opportunity to do it. That team's good enough to get to the championship four.
Well, I tell you, I mean, nobody's talking about Team Penske, but you know, we're not today. But they've won the last two championships, basically coming from nowhere to win.
But Blaney's not nowhere. Blaney's really
the defending champion.
But what I'm saying is, when you look at Blaney last year compared to Blaney this year, his consistency, his performance, the execution of that, the 12 team right now, he and the relationship with him and Hassler are just, I won't say it's Kyle and Cliff level yet, but I think they're just one step behind. And they're both a couple of Purdue Boilermakers, so you kind of have that they have that same feel, you know, the Hassler Cliff kind of, they have that same, I don't know, mentality. It seems
you can throw Gabe Hart in there too. So
well, Gabe Hart in there too.
Well, but and the thing is, Blaney has, you know, he's got the two wins recently, but he also, think about it, he should have won Gateway. You know, the week before
ran out of gas,
miscalculation, and he has been running up front in other races as well. So, I mean, he's also been, his finishes are a little deceptive because I think he's run better than his finishes show.
I think so. I would give you that, yeah.
And we know what he can do in the final 10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're forced to do so, just like Bell, he mentioned Bell. Look what Bell did to get into the playoffs 2 years ago. I mean, it was just winning, you're in, and he kept winning. So
to keep advancing, I mean, he won the Roval,
absolutely.
He did it from nowhere. And
but yeah. You're right. I transformed Cliff and
Gabe Hart.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wrong boilermakers. Yeah, we can finish each other's sentences and thoughts after 40 years.
One of them's not an IU guy. You're okay.
That's okay.
Otherwise, you'll hear about it.
Hey.
All right, there you go. All right, when we come back, our white flag laps. Stay with us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We were
work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines for the fourth annual Women with Drive, driven by Mobil 1 Summit, taking place in Indianapolis, Indiana, December 9th through the 11th to kick off PRI Show Week. As a property of Women in Motorsports North America, this conference brings together both women and men to discuss the current issues and needs to advance opportunities for a more diverse and inclusive environment to help grow the motorsports industry. Head to womenwithdrivesummit.com to learn more and register now.
We are Lions International, the world's largest service organization. We are volunteers committed to strengthening our communities and supporting those in need, one act of kindness at a time. For more than a century, Lions have been serving a world in need, right here in our community and around the world. Lions International makes the impossible possible. This is your invitation to join us, because the only thing missing from our mission to make a difference is you. Visit lionsclubs.org to find a local Lions Club near you.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Hey, before we get to our white flag laps, I want to do our O'Reilly Pit Reporters poll for this week, and it's the question we were just talking about in the last segment. Has a championship favorite emerged yet? I'm not going to ask you who it is, but ask you if you think one has, yes or no. Last week, we asked you, which track should they run at Indy? And 67% of you said the Oval. 28% said, you know, let's have two race weekends and run one on the Oval and one on the road course. And only 5% liked the road course. So there you go. All right. Now it's time for our white flag laps. And first up, from catchfence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Lee Spencer.
I have to agree with Ryan Blaney. I think Kyle Larson is the golden boy right now. When you look at what he's accomplished, leads the tour with four wins. He's one race behind the field and still leading the points. I'm not ready to crown him champion yet, because I know it's such a crapshoot once you get to Phoenix. But hey, young money, maybe it's run its course. Let's call him the golden boy.
Yeah, see if we can find that horseshoe. Is Jimmy Johnson giving it up? I think so.
He gave something up.
Yeah.
It's time to give something up.
Next up, from the NASCAR Wire Service, it's Reed Spencer.
Well, my perspective is on Ryan Blaney as well. And I think that Blaney, A, should learn the rules of the game, which apparently he didn't know coming to green on that first overtime restart, and then stop losing his mind when things go against him, because he was convinced that he could not win from the top lane. And so basically, I think he was defeated even before the last overtime restart. I don't think that you can incorporate those sorts of attitudes and be a winner and be a champion, although he's already a champion. But I think he's got to lose that mentality where he loses his mind and basically gives up before the final restart even happens. So, you know, I wish him the best over the next four races and the final 10. He's already proven he can do it over that stretch, and perhaps Team Penske will be crowned the champion once again when we get to Phoenix.
Well, the NASCAR season is unlike any other in sports. The official season runs from mid-February to mid-November with one break. This year, that one break is 2 weeks, and it's going on right now. I don't know that we've ever seen so many people so excited to get to the break as the folks were at Indianapolis. Many had big plans, bigger than normal, because the break is longer than normal. With 1 week off, well, that's nice for the teams, but it really isn't a full week off. Since it's only one weekend, you figure they start on a Tuesday. They have to allow for weather, you know. And then they have to be back at work the next Monday or Tuesday at the latest. So that's 7 days tops. When most of us get vacations, usually like 9 days from Saturday to the next Sunday. This year's two-week break is the first chance these teams and drivers have really had to escape in years. With 23 straight weekends behind them, 14 straight to go, they really deserve it. Unfortunately, it looks like next year will only be a one break, and it will come on Easter. Thanks a lot, Reed. Lee, talk to you next week.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.